All right. Hello, everyone, and welcome to day two of Connect. My name is Aaron Bjork from the VSTS team, and I am joined by
Sandra Bappold, also from the VSTS team. And today, Aaron and I are going to show you how your Agile teams can manage and track their work in VSTS.
All right. Now, before we kind of jump into the demo, and we've got a lot of demo to show you, I want to spend a little bit of time with some slides kind of setting up the demo that we're going to show you. So, we have built for you sort of a fictitious project, and it's called the Directory Project. And within that project, we've got three distinct teams that are working together. We've got the blue team, the orange team, and the purple team. Now, the interesting thing to point out about each one of these teams is that the teams are actually all practicing different Agile methodologies. So our blue team is actually practicing Kanban without using sprints. The orange team is practicing Scrum using 1 week sprints. And then we've got our purple team, which is practicing Scrum using 2 week sprints. So we've got a lot of variety here in the types of teams that we've got in this project. Now, we're going to start showing you a bunch of work in VSTS, and we're going to show you backlogs and Kanban boards and all that stuff. When we do, you're going to see work items that sort of look like this. You're going to see features at the highest level. This is where we're tracking the big ticket items for our project. You're then going to see the teams that work with stories and bugs, and we'll see how they manage those. And then we'll also understand how the teams break those items down into tasks. And these are the tasks that the individual members of the team are accomplishing and checking off sprint to sprint. Now, the schedule that we're working on is fictitious, but aligns with today's date. So here we are on November 16th, and we are all marching towards a private preview, which is about a week and a half from now on November 27th. So you hear us talk about that private preview release that's coming up as well. And then finally, before I turn it over to Sandra, I want to highlight for you that we're going to show you a few features in VSTS that are actually what we call preview features. So you're going to see a few things in the product that have these little tiny asterisks up next to them in the menu. That's indicating that the feature is actually in preview. That means it's not turned on for every account, but it is something that you can opt into using your personal profile and turn those features on. We've got a work items hub, which is going to give you really quick access to all the items in your project. We've got a boards hub, which is really the first of three new hubs that we're going to be introducing over the next few months. That's where you see your Kanban boards and things like that. And then finally, we've completely redesigned our queries hub, really paying attention to give you the most space on the screen for your query results and making sure that it's sort of maximum real estate for those capabilities. So with that in mind, I'm going to turn it over to Sandra, and why don't you take us through, Sandra, a little bit about how our blue team is using VSTS and practicing Kanban.
All right, sure thing. So as Aaron mentioned, with VSTS, teams have the autonomy to work in the way that best fits them. So for example here, I'm on the blue team, and the blue team employs Kanban. And what that means is the blue team's really focused on the flow of work items, identifying any inefficiencies, and managing their work in progress. But before we dig into that, I'm just going to take a step back and look at the Kanban board. And the first thing you'll want to know is that work on the Kanban board flows from left to right. So typically, you're starting your day off looking at the backlog or the first column, and you're going to grab that top item off the list. And as you make progress, you're really just moving this item across the columns. And so for this example, I'll just go ahead and drop this guy in the implementing column. Now, looking at the columns, you'll notice that there's two things that are a little bit different about the implementing column. The first thing is that it's about twice as wide as the other columns on the Kanban board, and that's because we've split it into doing and done. So we've gone ahead and split that implementing column. And the reason we did that is because a little while back, the team noticed that work was really piling up in this column. And when we dug into that, we found that folks didn't know when items were ready for code review because everything was just under a bigger bucket of implementing. So by splitting it into doing and done, now what makes it really great is that when I move it from implementing doing into implementing done, it gives the rest of the team a great cue to say, hey, those are the items that are ready for code review. So as a code reviewer, I'm just going to grab the top item off the done list and pull it into the code review column. And this is just one of the great ways that the Kanban board helps you eliminate bottlenecks as a team. Now, the second thing you'll notice about the implementing column is this nifty little info icon here. And when you click on that, what you're seeing here is the definition of done. Now, the definition of done is a set of criteria that the team agrees to beforehand, and it really defines when work can move into the column and also when it's ready to move out of the column. And so here again, because we've split this column into doing and done, you'll see that I actually have two sets of criteria for each section of that column. All right, and now if you turn your attention over to the right side of the column, actually in all of these columns, we've got these green and black annotations, and this is what we call a WIP limit or a work in progress limit, which really helps Kanban teams manage their work in progress. And the way this works is you can see here on the code review column that the green and black annotation is 5 out of 5. We're still good to go. But if I happen to try to pull in another item, let's say I pick this guy up and try to move it into code review, you'll see that that annotation has now turned red. And this is just a great visual way for me and the team to know that, hey, you know what, why don't we just wrap up the things that are already in flight in code review before we try and pick up anything else. And this just really helps us keep focused on the items at hand and avoid multitasking. All right, and another thing is if your team is one of those teams that has multiple streams of work, which is very common, or you want to go ahead and prioritize a specific set of work items, what you're going to want to do for that is to add custom swim lanes. So here in this example, you can see that I've added the expedite swim lane, and this is just so I can bucket work and see them at the top of the board that of the items that are most important. If I go ahead and collapse the swim lane, I get these really nice kind of summary details about where work items are in the specific columns, and I can actually go ahead and do that for both columns if I wanted a really succinct view. So swim lanes are great for that. And all of this stuff is configured in a single consolidated place here in the top right corner under your board settings. So I'm just going to pop into this guy, and under board, you'll see what I just mentioned before. So here are all the columns for this board. I've pre-configured them to meet my team's workflow, but you can do that as well for any of your teams. And if I click into these columns, you'll notice, for example, with implementing, I've assigned this WIP limit of 10, and then I've also split that column into doing and done. And so these are just really, really quick configurations you can take on your board. In addition, we've got swim lanes, and here you can add as many swim lanes as you need, depending on how many streams of work you have. Now, the last thing I want to talk about in settings is card settings. So the cards are really great visual indicators on the board, and you can do a couple of things here that make it even more prominent. So I'm going to go ahead and under fields, add a field to my bug work item type. You can add up to 10 fields, but for this demo, I'll just go ahead and add one, and I'll add priority, because I think that the priority of bug is something you probably want to know at a glance. So I'll go ahead and add that. And now that I've added the priority field, I'll also add a styling rule. And so styling rules are really great for you to call out specific cards, and you can set your own criteria. So here, I already have one that I've pre-created called P1 bugs. And I really want my team to quickly be able to see where the P1 bugs are on the board. So what I've done is set a styling rule where the card will turn this red color, and you can pick any color you'd like from here, but I'll make it red. Whenever the work item fits this criteria. So the work item type is bug, and the priority is 1. So that's when those cards will turn red. In addition, as Aaron mentioned, we are really marching to that private preview, and I have a private preview tag. So I'm going to go ahead and turn that private preview tag a really bright pink. That way, it'll be really easy to see where those work items are on the board. Okay, with all of that done, I'm going to go ahead and save. And as soon as I save, you will see that the board comes up, and it's really easy for me to now see where those private preview items are in flight. Additionally, we added that priority field. So on the bug work item card here, you can see that this bug is a priority of 2. But now that the field's available on the card, I can just single click, edit this, and hey, maybe this bug is worse than we thought, so I'm going to go ahead and increase the priority to 1. And since that rule is dynamic, immediately that card turns red, and it gives my team a great visual for, hey, we might want to go pick up that card and take a look. So that's a really great way for you to call things out on the board. Now, other things you can do directly from the card, I can grab this guy and actually start decomposing it into tasks. So if I just hit C on my keyboard shortcut, I can add item 1, item 2, item 3, and you'll notice that all of it's starting to create a little annotation on the card here. And from there, I can actually go ahead and just use it as a simple checklist where I'm just checking things off as I go, and it's really a personal way for you to break down whatever item is assigned to you. In addition, directly from the card, you can create a branch, which is really great. You enter the Create Branch dialog, and you can name your branch, pick a repo, and the best thing is that that then is automatically linked to your work item. For this demo, I'm not going to go through that whole flow. Instead, I'll actually open up a work item here that already has a development link. So for this work item, you can see that Aaron has already started a PR, and I can tell that it's active, so that's great. In addition, from the work item, you can really get an understanding of where that work fits into the larger picture. So here I know that the support for social registration accrues up to the larger feature of the user profile as well. And again, just like we saw on the card, you can see the child task breakdown as well as I'm working through this card. Now, if I go over to the left side of the work item form, here's where you'll find the rich text editor for your description. You can see that I've added a bunch of details, so Aaron can pick it up. From there, if you look down, you'll see a discussion section, and you can see that Aaron and I are already having a conversation about this work item, and he's mentioned me a couple of times, and I can already get those notifications via mail. So since I see that he's already started this PR, I'm going to go ahead and actually @mention him. So I'll say, @Aaron, thanks. Also, could you take a look at this? And I'll #mention related bug. So just mention that bug.
You're giving me more work. I'm not sure I was ready for that. So okay.
All right, I'll just keep piling it on Aaron. That's what I usually do. So I'll go ahead and save this work item. And as soon as I save that, all of the edits to the work item are being saved in the work item's history, which you can find in this tab right here with the clock. So when you go into the work item history, the first thing you'll see is a state graph. And this is just a really great way of getting like an overview of the progress on this item. And then I can actually go ahead and collapse that state graph to really dig in to each edit to get the full context of the work item. And so here you can see that I sort of see the delta of what happened here. And I can just arrow through all the changes as we go through that work item history. So again, on any save, all of those edits are put in work item history. It gives you really great end-to-end context for the lifespan of that work item. All right, so I'm going to go ahead and close out of this. So far, I've shown you how teams can collaborate on the Kanban board. But maybe now we can take a look at how you might manage work just at an individual level. And so to do that, I'm going to go over to the Work Items Hub. Now, the Work Items Hub is one of our hubs that's in preview. And the great thing about the Work Items Hub is that it's really a one-stop shop for everything that you care about. So the way I usually use it is like start my day off, and I'm on the Assign to Me pivot. And here, this is really just my personal to-do list. So this is everything in the project that's assigned to me. And if I want, I can go ahead and configure this to be a little more of what I want for this week. So say I really want to focus on bugs this week, I can go ahead and filter that list down to just bugs. And that filter is going to persist. So the next time I come back to it, I just have the bugs that are assigned to me. And this is a really great way for you to track the work that you need to get done. Now, from there, you can see that I have work that I have explicitly followed. And here are the items that I really want to keep up to date with. We also have mentioned, so you'll see that item that Aaron mentioned me in. And again, this is in an early preview. We actually have a cool feature coming out soon where we add a freshness indicator. So if I have an update here or a mention here that I haven't seen yet, we'll add like a little blue indicator just like you see in PRs today. And then finally, my personal favorite, this is my activity. And this list just shows you everything that you've interacted with in the last 30 days or recently. And what that does for me is I interact with a lot of work items as a PM. And so this gives me a place where I know I can just come do a quick search and find the work item that I'm looking for. So it's a really great way to do that. All right, so now you've seen how Kanban teams can work in VSTS as well as a more personal view. I'm going to hand it over to Aaron, who's going to show us how Scrum teams work in VSTS.
All right, thank you, Sandra. That's great. I'm actually going to start the demo for the Scrum team actually directly on the Kanban board as well. So, and I'm going to show you a little bit of the way the orange team, which is practicing Scrum using week-long sprints, uses the Kanban board in the context of sprints. So kind of switching over to my machine here, you can take a look at the Kanban board for the orange team. And the thing that I want to point out here is that you'll notice that you see a lot of the things that Sandra already showed you on the blue team's board. But what I've done is I've actually tailored the columns up here to indicate that the work that we're doing in the current sprint, which is sprint 13, and then the work that we're thinking about for the next sprint in another column next to it. So I'm not really practicing true Kanban with this board, but I am able to use it to visually track work very, very easily. Now, because I'm a Scrum team, the orange team is a Scrum team, I'm going to move over to their backlog. And the backlog is the place where you really spend a lot of time grooming the stories for your team, getting them in priority order, and just making sure the team is working on the things that are appropriate and the things that are up next. So when we kind of start on the product backlog, the first thing you'll notice is that we've got a list of all those work items, and you can see that this is a mixture of both stories and bugs, so we're seeing both of those. For each one of those stories, I can drill in and I can see the tasks that are beneath it, I can pay attention to that work. I can even do some things like reorder and move tasks from one card to the other if I want. I'm not going to do that now, but that capability is there. Now, one of the things that teams do a lot with the product backlog is they're doing reordering. And so you'll notice here at the top that I've got a lot of work already in Sprint 13 because that's ongoing. But during our grooming sessions and during our regular meetings throughout the week, we might find that some of these items are more important than others. So maybe this mobile support for directory browsing is one that we really, really want to move up the backlog. We're just going to grab it, drag it up to the top, and indicate that that's what we want the team to work on next. Now, one of the really nice things that you can do in that sort of spirit, in terms of thinking about what's next, is most Scrum teams really pay attention to their velocity. So they have a clear understanding of how much work they can complete sprint to sprint. And we have a really nice feature here that we call forecasting, which essentially allows you to turn on a configurable velocity and overlay that on top of your backlog. So let me just full screen this so it's a little bit easier to see. You'll notice here that we are forecasting what the team can complete over the next few sprints based on a velocity of 12. And this is just a simple numeric field that you can change. We could change it to 10, or maybe we could up it to 13. It's not a strict implementation of velocity, but rather it's meant to be configurable by the team so they can really plan effectively. Now, you'll notice that when I do that, even as I'm moving items around, I'm able to really quickly see what is going to fit into the next couple of sprints. And it happens dynamically. So it's a great tool for teams to use as they're planning to make sure that they're not overcommitting to sprints that are upcoming. So with that in mind, let me go back out of full screen. And you can already see here that we've got some work that we're thinking about next that it looks like we can fit into Sprint 14. So I'm just going to drag that item and I'm going to put it over there in Sprint 14. And when we do that, what that's going to do is it's going to assign it to that upcoming sprint. And you'll notice that the iteration path field here on the right-hand side, live updated, indicating that we've got that directly in Sprint 14. Okay, so let me turn our forecasting off. The next thing I want to show you that I think is a really powerful feature on the product backlog is being able to turn on sort of the full hierarchy and being able to see how this work directly relates to those parent items. So Sandra showed you earlier how you can see that directly on the work item. Now I'm going to show you how you can see that directly in your product backlog. So I can see here that all the work that we've got lined up for Sprint 13 is accruing to this feature called directory tagging across accounts. If I found some new work and I decided that it was important to add it into that, I could drag it up there and it would naturally create that parent-child relationship. And I can even categorize my work down here that is unparented and organize that as needed as well. So that's another nice capability that you get directly on the product backlog. And then finally, one of the things that I really like to do, because we've got that Kanban board in play as well, I'm going to go ahead and use my column options here, and I'm going to go ahead and add the column directly from my Kanban board. So to do this, I can just add the board column, and then I can see the actual column that this item is on my board, as well as directly here from the product backlog as well. So it kind of brings both those experiences together. Okay, now moving out of the product backlog, let's go ahead and jump into Sprint 13 and take a look at, in more detail at the features the team is using to manage this current sprint. So I'm going to go ahead and click on Sprint 13. And we're going to start here on what we just call the sprint backlog. It's very, very similar to the product backlog, but it's filtered down to only the user stories and bugs that have been added directly into Sprint 13. Now, one of the nice features that you're going to see here right away is that there's this new panel off to the right-hand side. And what that is it's a real simple, what we call a capacity panel, which helps you understand how all the work for each one of these stories maps to individuals on the team. So in our fictitious example with the orange team, they went through sprint planning and they went ahead and assigned out their tasks. And as we're burning down work each day, we can easily and quickly see that it looks like we've got a little bit of a capacity problem. It looks like Chris has a little bit more work than he has the capacity for. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to grab this item that here is that is assigned to Chris. And you'll see I can maybe move it over and assign it to myself, which is going to create the same capacity problem for me. Maybe I move it over to Rick, but it doesn't look like he has capacity. But I can drop it here on Sandra. So she assigned me some work earlier, so maybe I'll throw a little work back her direction. But it's a really nice visual cue to just know that nobody on the team is overloaded. And I'm not going to do this now, but if you drilled into the capacity panel here, we allow each team member to indicate how many hours per day they can work, including days off and things like that. One of the things I always like to point out about this feature is this is a feature for the actual Scrum team. This is not a feature for your management and leadership team to look down on you. This is for you to make a strong commitment to the upcoming sprint. All right, so let's move out of the sprint backlog and let's move directly into the task board. Now, the task board is another great board that we have in the product. This one is similar to the Kanban board, but different. And I want to highlight some of the differences. The first thing you'll notice is that this is a true hierarchical board where the actual children in the hierarchy, in this case, which are the tasks, are the items which are moving from left to right. So here we can look at work that's assigned to Sandra, and we can take it and drop it into the active column, and then we can move it over and drop it into the closed column. And that's the sort of natural progression that a team would do day to day with these tasks, and then they would use this board to talk about the progress they're making daily stand-up. Now, I'm going to do that again, but this time I want you to kind of pay attention to this burndown chart, which is up at the top. The burndown chart is a really simple tool which just helps us know if we're on track or not. And what I want to highlight for you is that the burndown is actually doing some live updating. So if I grab this item here that's assigned to me, and I drag it over here and I put it in the closed column, you'll notice that the hours were immediately decremented and taken to zero, and you'll notice that the burndown chart immediately dropped. So that's a great feature to use too, just to keep track of how the team's doing day to day. Now, if I wanted to add new items to this board, it's super simple. I just add new tasks. This is a new item. I can assign that work right here to a member of the team. And then I can even just add an hours estimate really, really easily. So it's very, very simple to put new work on the board. Two more really kind of cool features about the task board that I want to highlight. The first is that we've got this nice grouping capability. You'll notice that we're grouping all of the tasks by user story. I can pivot that to people, and I can now see the breakdown of work per person on the team. So that's a really nice capability. The other one that I like to use a lot is I like to turn on the person filter. And this is where if I only wanted to look for the work that is about me on the board, I can turn on that person filter. It actually just collapses everything down and does some graying out of the work that's not assigned to me, but helps me really pinpoint my work and what's coming up next. So that's a little bit about how the orange team is using the product backlog, the sprint backlog, and now the task board. Now, moving from there, I want to actually jump over to another capability that we have in VSTS, and this capability is called dashboards. Dashboards are an awesome canvas for your teams to use to really put together a visual signboard of all the work that they're tracking and watch it very, very carefully. This is a completely configurable canvas. So if I just clicked edit here, you can see that it's very easy for me to rearrange items here. I can change the order of things. I can even go add new things. So this is what we call our widget gallery, which slides in from the side. And we pre-populate this with a whole bunch of widgets, not just about work items, but also about code and build and releases and things like that. We've designed these to be very, very easy to configure and use. So if I wanted to take this assigned to me widget, I could just take it, drop it here onto my dashboard. And when I do that, you'll notice that immediately it's pre-configured and it's showing me all the work that's assigned to the logged in user. So that's a really, really handy feature. In this case, let's just remove that and let me explain a few of the widgets that you're seeing here on the Orange Teams dashboard. The first one is you'll notice that we've got another burndown chart. This is a brand new burndown chart that we've built on our new analytics service. It's a lot more configurable and a lot more powerful than the pre-built one that we ship on the task board. It gives you a ton of different capabilities. I'm just going to jump into the configuration panel here so you can see that. I could easily change this particular burndown widget to burndown a different type of work item. I could change it to counting work items instead of summing a particular field. Doesn't look like we'd be doing too well if I did it that way, so I'm going to switch it back to sum. And I can also easily configure date ranges for it. So you can bind this to sprints, or you can make it out using a custom date range as well. So that's another nice little capability there. Another one of my really favorite widgets is the team velocity widget. The velocity widget just helps the team understand how much work they're completing sprint to sprint. You can see here that we did a bunch of work in sprint 10 that it looks like we completed late and didn't look like we did any planning. In sprint 11, it still looks like we didn't do planning, but we got the work done. And now in sprint 12 and 13, we're starting to see those bars show up side by side, indicating that the team is doing a better job of planning and then delivering on the value that it's committing to. So that's a great new widget that you should check out. And then finally, I really want to highlight the cycle time widget. This is a widget where you can really pay attention to how long it's taking you to start work and then complete it. And that's what we think of as cycle time. So from the moment a new story or task is put into in progress, we really start a clock and measure how long it takes you to then complete it. And we give you a really nice visual representation of how you're doing on average. Again, this is 100% configurable, so you can configure it by work item type, by date range. And it helps you pay attention to whether or not your team is kind of being consistent at the size of the work they're taking on and the amount of time that it takes them to complete it. If you're looking for outliers, they easily show up here and you can go drill in for more detail. So that's kind of a quick overview of the dashboard. If you wanted to create as many dashboards as you want, you can go ahead and do that. So this is a new dashboard. And you'll notice that once it's created, I just start with a blank canvas and I can just start adding the widgets that make sense and away I go. So if you haven't used our dashboards feature in the past, I'd encourage you to go check it out because it's really powerful and can really help your teams stay connected and on track. Okay, so up to this point, we've seen a couple of things. We've seen first how our blue team is practicing Kanban. Now we've seen also how our orange team is practicing Scrum. At this point, Sandra, why don't you take over and show us a little bit about how we can keep track of all of this work across our teams inside our project?
Yeah, sure thing. So recently, this past year, we released a new feature called Delivery Plans. And what's really powerful about Delivery Plans is that it gives you a way to pull in multiple teams, even if they have varying sprint or release schedules, and pull it into a single view where you can see all of the work progressing to larger organizational goals. So what we have here is a delivery plan that I've created called All Directory Teams, and we're pulling in all three teams in the directory project that Aaron mentioned before, so blue, orange, and purple. And as you view it across, you can see that they're working at different schedules. This right now is the collapsed view, so you get a nice little summary of everything that's in each release or in each sprint. But if you want, you can go ahead and expand this view and really dig into the work that's happening in each team. So here, I'll take a look at the blue team, and if I wanted, I could actually go ahead and add a work item. So I see there's nothing in release K yet. Maybe this is just another item we need to plan for, and I'll go ahead and add that item, and it's as easy as that. Additionally, sometimes you might be in a room where you're planning a few sprints out, so you can just grab this guy and go ahead and drop it into another release as well. Now, if we look over to the right, you'll notice a couple of configurations here. A lot of the time, you might be looking at this on a big screen TV while you're in a planning meeting. So we've given you this scale here that allows you to really adjust how much you want to see in this view based on your screen resolution. And then additionally, we have filters available here for you to configure the view. You know, we're in the private preview, so I might really want to configure just down to the private preview items, and that all of those filters are available here. Go ahead and clear that for now. And then in the settings, what happens here is that you have a Teams section. And so here, I've pulled in the three teams from the directory project. But what's really awesome about the delivery plan is that you can pull in teams from different projects as well. So I'm going to go ahead and add another team, not from the directory project, but from the analytics project. And I'll go grab the Martians team because they also happen to be working on some private preview items. And I'll just grab items from their stories backlog. I'm going to go and move this guy up to the very top so that when I save this setting, it'll show up as the first row on my delivery plan. All right, so I'm going to hit save. And as soon as the plan reloads, you can tell that here's the Martians from that analytics project. And now I can see everything side by side, even though you can tell that the Martians have different work item types that they've customized, and they may be working to a different schedule. So again, this is how you can see work across teams and even across projects in a single view. Now, I mentioned the private preview. The plan has a great way for you to indicate dates that are really important to you. So by default, you get the today marker, which just really helps you align and set context set where you are. But if I wanted, I could go back into settings and grab the markers. And here, I'll add a marker for November 27th, since that's our private preview day. Call it private preview. And this works just like tags where you can pick a color. I'm going to go ahead with green. And when you hit save, you'll see that that marker's been added to the view. And it just gives you a really great way of saying, hey, private preview's on November 27th. What's going to make it in time for that deadline? And you can see it on the calendar all the way across all four of those teams. And you can see what's going to make it and what's not going to make it. So I get a lot of questions from folks about how we use delivery plans. So I wanted to just take a moment today and switch over to our actual delivery plan. So here we are in msenge.visualstudio. That's the Microsoft Engineering account. And you can see that I have a delivery plan for Agile features. And so this is our plan for the four Agile features. And I'm actually going to pop into full screen because that's usually how we use it. And this is just a way for us to view all the work across our four teams. The way we run it is we have a sprintly meeting where all four teams, the leads for all four teams come together and we just take a look at, hey, what's in progress right now? What are we looking at three sprints out? And to do that, one great way is to just hit T and you can make it title only so that you get a more succinct view. And this just allows a visual for us to have a really great conversation about, hey, are there any dependencies? And you'll hear Aaron talk about this a lot where he says the aha moments. We have a lot of aha moments in these meetings where I say, hey, see that you're working on this next sprint. You know, we've got a dependency on this, and what can we do about that? So it's a really great way for us to use the tool that we built. All right. So now that we've taken a look at MSEng, I'm going to actually switch us back over to being on track for the private preview by showing you the new wiki feature. And the wiki feature is a really great way for you to collaborate on content with your teams while still remaining in VSTS. So here under wiki, you can see that I've created a wiki with a bunch of pages, and one of those happens to be the private preview page. Here we've listed out and linked a bunch of work items. And you can do that really easily by just clicking on Edit Page. And you get this great full markdown support where I can say, OK, I'm going to pound mention another item here. And you get your MRU list where I can just grab that top work item and say, hey, this is another item. Ooh, that's actually a user story. I'm going to move it over. I'm going to move it over to user stories instead. And it's just as easy as that. Now, once I hit save, and close, you'll see that we have a quick link to revisions. So I can go and easily see what changes have been made to this document. And if I click into this, you get a really quick glance at what the delta is between those changes. And just like in PRs, you can go ahead and change the way that you're viewing that as well. All right, I'm going to head on back to private preview. And just a couple of things to add. From the pages side on the right-hand side, you can go ahead and enter the context menu and add as many subpages as you need. And additionally, you can even link the entire wiki page to a work item. So here, I'm just going to grab the item that we need to plan for, and I'll make that link. And as soon as I update, you'll get this nifty little annotation here where you can click on it, and you'll see all the associated work items for this wiki page. And so again, wiki is a really great way for you to freeform collaborate on content with your team while still keeping the full integrations available across the VSTS verticals. All right, so far, every work item that you've seen has been an out-of-box work item. Aaron, why don't you show us how you can customize work items in your process to match your team's needs?
All right, perfect. Thanks, Sandra. Yeah, as we jump into this next section, I want to show you how you can really take advantage of tailoring work items, and we call this process customization a lot. If you're familiar with the old process customization story, you might be thinking about XML files and uploading and zip files, and it was kind of cumbersome. In today's world, it's super easy, and I want to show you just how easy it is to add a new work item type, create some rules about it, and then just use it very, very naturally in your projects. All right, so I've moved over to my screen, and we're now in the process setting of our particular account. And you'll notice here that I've got a process here that I've pre-created called Custom Agile Process. It inherits from our out-of-the-box Agile template. All that means is that when we make changes to the Agile template, they flow naturally into that. So it's a really nice way to kind of stay in sync with the changes we're also making to processes. I'm going to jump directly into that custom process, and immediately what you're going to notice is that we've got a list of all those work item types that we were seeing earlier. So you can see that we've got bugs, we've got our features here. For the most part, these are the out-of-the-box work item types. There's one that I've pre-added in here that's called an LSI, and I'm going to jump into that and explain it to you what it is here in a second. Before I do that, though, let's just go add our own custom work item type into this process. So I'm going to go ahead and click Create New Work Item Type, and we're going to create an incident work item. This is for tracking incidents, so I'm going to be really descriptive there. Each time you create a work item, we ask you to provide an icon for it, and then we also ask you to provide a color. And this is just a way to kind of visually differentiate the item in big lists and make sure that you can quickly see it and find it. Once I've gone ahead and created that incident, I'm taken to this kind of WYSIWYG layout editor, where at this point I can start adding fields, I can customize states, and I can add rules to my heart's content and really get that work item type tailored the way I want it. Now, rather than taking you through that whole process in this video, I'm going to switch back over and jump into the LiveSite incident work item that we've sort of pre-created for this particular demo. So I'm going to jump into the LSI. And you can see here that the LSI has had some changes made to it. I've added a bunch of custom fields over here on the right in this new impact section. I've actually hidden a few sections that came with the out-of-the-box inherited work item. In this case, I'm going to add a brand new group. And let's go ahead and call this group owner. And I'll pick the section that I want this to show up in. So we've now got our new owner group. I'm going to move it up to the top there so that it's the first thing that people see. And then I'm going to go add a new field to it. Now, when I add a new field, you've got lots of options here. You can add all types of fields, including pick lists, including date time fields, booleans. We've got all different types here. In this case, I'm not going to actually add a new field. I'm going to pick a field that I pre-added previously. And that field is called follow-up owner. So we want to make sure that we have somebody who's identified for each of our LiveSite incidents to do the follow-up work that we need. So we'll go ahead and add that field directly into this owner section. And now we've got it kind of ready to use. In fact, I could go create new work items. I could fill out that field right away. It's that fast. Now, I'm not going to customize any of the states, but I will show you that I've changed the colors for the states. So one of the nice things that you can come in here and do is make sure that the state colors match what you think they should be, and you can make changes very easily. But the thing I want to show you this morning is how you can create custom rules to sort of enforce your custom business logic on each of these work items. So in this case, because we've created the follow-up owner field and we want each LSI to have that, we're going to create a new rule, and it's going to be called required follow-up owner. And we're going to go through this editor, which allows us to kind of tailor that business rule. In this case, we're going to add a new condition, and the condition is going to fire when a work item state is set to closed. So what this means is every time an LSI goes to closed, we're going to enforce the following actions. And in this case, we're just going to make required that brand new follow-up owner field that we've got there. And we'll go ahead and save it. So at that point, the rule is applied. Now, let me jump out of the process section, and I'm going to jump over into the queries section of VSTS. And I'm going to show you how you can use this LSI work item and also show you how that rule is enforced as well. So let me switch over to my queries hub. The first thing I want to point out is this is the new redesigned queries hub. It's got a lot more capability, and we've kind of pulled that tree, which was kind of smashed up against the left of all your query results, into its own page. We call this a directory page. Some really nice features here, as you can see who last modified things. It's very easy to organize, and you can even filter as well. So if I wanted to find queries that were only about LSIs, I can just quickly and easily filter down that list. Now, I've pre-created a couple of queries. In this case, I'm going to start with the all LSI. The all LSIs query is a very, very simple query, but you can see the results here that show up. When you jump into a query result, we give you a bunch of different capabilities. You can quickly and easily just sort of bounce through the different items. We obviously support updating in real time, so you can do that as well. And we even give you the ability to sort of move this different panel around. So you can turn it off, you can move it to the bottom, and even full screen as needed. Now, I'm going to tailor this query a little bit. Before I do that, I'm actually going to refresh the page once. The reason I need to refresh the page is because we want to make sure that we get that brand new field that we've added before, and I had this page preloaded before, so it was likely cached. So I'm going to go ahead and choose in my column options to go ahead and add that new follow-up owner field, and we will put it right there, and then maybe we'll move it over right next to assigned to, so it's easy to understand who's assigned to follow up on all these particular work items. Now, let's take one of these items and let's go try to close it. And in this case, let's start with this item that's assigned to Chris here. It looks like we've got some, actually, it's probably better if we take one that's assigned to me. So I've got one down here at the bottom that says logouts timing out, and we'll go ahead and click on that one. And I'm going to take this item and say that we've done all the work for it, and I'm going to go ahead and try to save it. Now, you'll notice that it looks like it saved automatically. And I'm not sure why it did that, because we didn't have a follow-up owner identified. So let me jump back over to my process. Let's make sure we did this right. Required follow-up owner. Work item state is closed. Make required the follow-up owner. Let's try that one more time. I'm going to refresh the page. And we will take this work item, which is assigned to me, and we will try to close it. And okay, it looks like in this case it worked. So maybe I needed to refresh twice. I'm not sure why. But you can see there that we're applying the business logic in real time. And no more XML files, no more zip files, no more uploading. It's just very, very easy to tailor that experience to the way you want it. So in this case, I'm going to go ahead and make sure Sandra is on point to do the follow-up work there. And now I can actually save that item. Okay, a couple other things that I want to show you quickly here about queries. One thing that's really nice about queries is the editor is really handy. You can make these as complex or as simple as you want. In this case, this is a very simple one. This is just all work item types that equal LSI. I've got a couple of pre-favorited queries here as well. So I could have all LSIs that are missing repair items. I could even have all LSIs that are just active. And I can add clauses to my heart content here to make this really, really rich as needed. The other thing that I really love about queries is it's very, very simple to create charts on them. So if you want to go create a new chart and visually watch the status of this query, you can do that very, very simply from the Charts tab in the Queries Hub. Now, before I move out of here, I'm going to go back to our directory, and I'm going to take that LSI active query that we've got before, and I'm going to go ahead and add that to my dashboard. Now, this is a different dashboard. This is the project dashboard, and I've already pre-created that one. So I'll click Add to Project Dashboard, and then I'm going to navigate right over there. The reason I'm adding this to the dashboard is because we want to make sure that we track LSIs very, very carefully. And 5 LSIs probably isn't a good thing to have at any one period in time. So what I'm going to do to add a little bit more sort of visual richness to this particular tile is I'm going to change the default background color to white. And then I'm going to add a very simple styling rule. And I'm just going to say that if the number of work items is greater than 1, we want to change this particular tile to red. And we can add additional rules here as well. So we could have this be sort of very simple or very complex as needed. So there you have it, sort of in a nutshell. You can see how we can customize work item types. You can see how we can use queries to track them. The very final thing I'm going to show you is that not only are these things queryable and can be thrown on your backlog, but we've got a very, very powerful search feature in the product. And right there, up there in the top in the blue bar, you can see the search bar. If you click into it, we give you a bunch of really easy to use sort of macros out of the gate. So I'm going to say T colon, which stands for work item type. And I'm going to go do a search for all LSIs. Now, when I do that, we're actually just looking across an index that we've got of all your work item types. And we can find all the LSI work items. We could add additional items here as well. So we could add all bugs. And we could even, I forgot to add my or, so let me do that. So there's all LSIs and all bugs. And we could also even refine this down to make sure that we do like an assign to and say, we only want to see the things assigned to Sandra. And you can see how rich that search is. Now, the other really cool thing about search is that we've got these pre-built filters for you, so you can further like sort of tailor down the result set that you get here. And if you've got projects in the same account, you can also click up here and extend this search to search across all the projects in your account.
All right, great. So it looks like we're coming up on time here. But before we wrap up and take questions, just want to take a quick moment to talk about our marketplace. So if you take a look here, not only are the VSTS tools already pretty powerful, but if you want to go ahead and enhance your experience for anything specific, you can come over to the marketplace. And we've got tons of extensions. So here, you've got everything from build and release extensions to ones that are really helpful for planning and tracking. So for this demo, I'm going to focus on the extensions that are available for planning and tracking work. And there are two that I really want to call out and give them a shout out. So the first one is Time Tracker by 7Pace. 7Pace is a great partner of ours. And if you're a team that really needs time recording on your work items, then Time Tracker is the one for you because it's really seamless. It's integrated into the work item. And then even better, you have some reporting capabilities as well on that time tracking. So it's just a great one to check out if you're a team that manages the time reporting. Another one that we have is called Backlog Essentials. This is a fairly new one, and it's from our partner Agile Extensions. I love this one because I spend a lot of time in the backlog, and it gives you really great kind of seamless quick edit options on your backlog. So as you click through work items on the backlog, you get this really nice pane that pops out, and you can make super quick edits and save immediately from there. So again, if you're looking for ways to enhance your VSTS experience, go check out our marketplace. It's available to you from the shopping icon on the right-hand corner. And if you don't find what you're looking for, you can always build your own custom extensions. We have samples and tutorials available for you.
All right, so we're going to, at this point, kind of open it up to questions. We've just got a few more minutes. I see, kind of looking at the questions, the first question, Sandra, I'm going to sort of direct to you, which is about flexibility in our Kanban board. So we kind of hear this a lot where people say, I love the Kanban board, but what if I want to only have a Kanban board for the work that I care about and not the work for my team?
Right.
So why don't you tell us a little bit
about
that?
Yeah, absolutely. That's a great question. So I'm going to actually pop over back to the Boards Hub just to talk about this. We do hear that ask quite a bit. And so you'll see that we've made a couple of navigational changes that are priming us to really bring flexibility to the board. So what I want to call out here on the Boards Hub is that we've got this breadcrumb situation happening here where I can click back into Boards, And I've now have a directory of all the boards that are available to me across the entire project. So these are mine because I've gone ahead and favorited these boards. And favorites is a great way for you to just have quick access to the boards you care about. But you could also switch to all and you get all the boards in the entire project. Now, what we're planning for here in the future is a way for you to create a new board. And I see Ravi asked if tasks could be added to the Kanban board. We're looking at ways where the Kanban board can be created in a way that's more flexible. And one of those ways is adding different work item types, but also creating a board outside of the team scope, which is something that we hear all the time.
Great. And I know that pattern that you described there, too, with the directory pages
yep.
and the favoriting.
Go ahead and pop
we're
going
to be sort of bringing that to even more experiences, right? So
exactly.
we're going to see that. We're going to have a sprints hub here in
yep.
the future. We're going to have a separate backlogs hub.
Yeah.
And you'll be able to navigate very seamlessly around through those things using favorites and directories.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm super excited about the sprints hub. That one is going to allow you to create new sprints directly from the hub, and it's going to be really first class. So you should see that preview coming in the next couple of months.
Right. Okay. So let's see. We got a couple other questions here. We said that we often request a burn down chart across projects. Is that feature available? Great question. I'm going to say almost. So we've got our new burn down chart available, which is way more configurable, and we're going to make it cross project here very, very soon. So just kind of hang on to that. If you haven't used our burn down chart before, you can go find that in the marketplace mm-hmm. that Sandra showed you.
Yep.
And you need to install our analytics feature there, or our analytics extension, and that's where you're going to get that burn down chart, that velocity chart, and a bunch of others. So we'll,
yep.
we'll continue to extend out that catalog as we go. One thing I also want to point out about this is we've got, if you're interested more in analytics, Greg Bohr on our team pre-recorded a session that you can find in the Channel 9 gallery
yep.
that talks all about the future for the analytics space and how we're investing with Power BI, how we're adding more widgets. You can get a good preview
sure.
into the future there. Great.
Okay,
right. let's see.
See next
looking
question.
For other questions. Is there a way to give view-only permissions to say customers to view the Kanban board? So the answer to that is no. We have
not just yet.
Not just yet. Yeah. We are doing some work in the permission space, and I'm going to relate it to another question that was asked earlier about how can we work with sort of multiple accounts together.
Mm-hmm.
So you'll see us talking about that, I think, sort of in the first half of the next calendar year,
mm-hmm.
where we're going to give you some capabilities to like further refine the permissions in what we call an organization. And an organization will be a container that works across accounts.
Yeah.
So look for that, but not quite yet.
And just to add, as far as permissions go, really internally, what Microsoft is using to manage permissions are the area path permissions today. You can imagine that some of the HoloLens projects are pretty hush-hush, so they use area path permissions, which will actually go ahead and remove those work items from the Kanban board that a person is viewing if they don't have permission to that specific area path.
Perfect. Now, another question I see is that we often get asked this one as well, which is, I've got lots and lots and lots of fields.
Yeah.
And sometimes lots of fields is a problem because the work item just becomes sort of cluttered and overwhelmed
yeah.
with fields. So the question is, what are we going to do there and how can we do a better job? We have a feature that we're just starting to work on that we're calling a personal view of the work item.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be much more social, much more discussion-centric. And what it's going to have is actually the ability to pin only the fields that you care about onto the front of the work item. So we're designing that now, we're working on it, kind of look for it in probably Q1 of next year.
Yep.
You'll see that show up on VSTS. So that'll be another exciting new feature that helps you get through that field clutter, if
yeah,
you will.
Yeah, we've got a busy spring coming up, so.
Yeah, lots going on.
Looking forward to lots of features.
So.
Great.
Let's see, I'm looking at some of the other questions. Three different project types can be in the same project. What we mean by this, sort of Salam, is that we've got one process that we're following here, but we're actually seeing three different teams follow different methodologies. So they're all using the same work item types. It's just that one is following a Kanban approach, one is following a Scrum approach, and then we had two different sprint cadences, if you will. We had a
yeah.
team that was following a two-week cadence and a team that was following a one-week cadence. So there's yeah. lots of flexibility. I will tell you that we recommend one cadence to rule them all. We really find that that works best. We work in a team of about 700 people, and everybody's on the same three-week cadence. And it adds so much simplicity into scheduling, into
yep.
talking about dates when everybody's on the same thing. So,
yep.
all right, I think we are out of time, so we're going to wrap up there. I'm going to throw quickly on the screen a few links if you want to learn more about VSTS, whether how we do it, how the product supports it, or even more just about Agile in general. Just go ahead and check out these links. And thank you very much.
Great. Thanks.